Today in the podcast, we are talking about the hot-button issue of abortion and why it is such a hot-button issue, how it impacts the woman, and how it is spiritual in nature, and how we're supposed to react to it.
Welcome to the Thoughtful Thursday podcast, hosted by Zachary Coffey, author of the book, Welcome to the Armory, Understanding the Interconnectedness of the Full Armor of God, as described in Ephesians chapter 6. Thoughtful Thursday's podcast is about identifying the spiritual conflict that is manifesting itself in this world and providing Christians with understanding of spiritual principles and guidance on how to apply them to the real-world events that are going on to make a change for the kingdom of heaven.
The reason why abortion invokes so much emotion is because it is a spiritual war zone between the forces of God and Satan, and it is influencing directly in our physical world as we see it in the laws being passed and the fights being going on in Congress of our local and in the federal sectors. So why is it a spiritual war zone to begin with? Well, that comes down to the major premise of the war and what is going on and the goal of the war involved. To understand the war, you need to understand where it comes from and who's inside of it. The war is between God and Satan. God is supreme and reigns as sovereign, whereas Satan wants to remove God from his sovereign position. Now, God being sovereign means he can never be removed, and Satan knows this. However, he's going to go down with a fight and not going to go down easy. What he's going to do is he's going to make it a costly victory to God by involving as many human suffering, by making it so humans have grief. God is going to suffer because of that, and that's what is being done by Satan. He's making God's heart be grieved because he loves us humanity. Humanity is the prize of God's creation. We are made in his image. We are the only one made in his image and given the breath of life in our creation story. We are the only ones he died for. Jesus Christ became a man, not any other creature, but a man, because man is the pinnacle of God's creation. We are the ones who can give the breath of life. We are the only creature which was formed by God's hand in the Garden of Eden. He spoke all the other creations into existence. And by other creations, I mean he spoke the world, he spoke the stars, he spoke the animals. But humanity, who took time to essentially nail in the dust, form a man, and breathe life into our nostrils. And by our, I mean breathe into Adam's nostrils, and by extension, human race. He breathed into the human race life from his spirit. We are the only creatures who are able to have his spirit within us. And that is what makes us so unique, as we are able to be in such likeness of God to even have that unity of spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Christ prays a specific prayer that we might be one with God in the same way that he is one with God. And that is so unique. We are given that same oneness that I mentioned just a few minutes earlier. We are given that ability to be in true fellowship with God because that is what our initial purpose was in the garden. To be in fellowship with God, to live in harmony with him, to truly know him. Ultimately, it is a relationship with God that our spirit desires. It is our spirit needing him to be with us. As I've established, God cares so much about us as human beings. And that is why he sent Christ to save us from sins. But there is more to this podcast than just the fact that we need a savior. It's the fact that Satan wants to cause pain to God because of how much we love. By now, I think it's been firmly established just how unique we are compared to all of creation. Just how special we are in God's eyes. And just how much it will cause pain to him when we die and go to hell. And that is why when we do wrong, when the innocent of our people are killed, it causes even more anger within God. That anger will cause them to go to judgment and enact swift justice. And by swift, I mean when it is done, there is no escape from it. And that is what Satan wants to have done. He wants humanity to be judged. He wants as many humans to not so much suffer judgment, but to suffer because of what they did. When the ability to escape it was made available, but they refused, and now God, who loves us very much, has to punish us, grieving himself more. And that is why abortion is an active war zone to be remained legal in this country. Satan wants abortion to remain legal in this country because of the fact it causes grief to God. the innocent children, he hears their cries when they are killed. It enraged him when the Israelites and other nations would sacrifice their children to the idols. Now, something you must understand is idols in those days weren't just statues. They were statues, but they were embodied by demons. Whenever there is an idol, a demon will manifest to receive that praise and take the position of a god, take the position of a being of power. They do have power, but they'll never have the power that God has. They'll present themselves as a god over a specific area, which will explain, oh, they're not powerful because that's not their area. They're powerful over here, but not over here. Do you understand the games they play with the psychology? Good. Now that same scenario is being done in our society. While there is no such thing as a idol being worshipped in the sense of there's a statue, there is still the spiritual attribute done whenever something takes the place of God in our lives, whenever something becomes higher priority, whenever something is given more importance in our lives, it becomes an idol, and a demon will draw strength from that. A demon will manifest and encourage such things because of the grief it causes God, which will inevitably store up judgment for ourselves on the day of judgment in the end when we are dead. That is why this is going on. Satan wants his main people to receive judgment. He wants to make sure people don't receive grace, because again, it will grieve God. One of the ways the devil keeps abortion legal in the United States and in the world is by saying that there is no impact on the woman. Through the abortion industry that has vast amounts of money from the abortions procedures they've gotten, through the coercing of women who feel desperate for a way out from a situation where they do not have the ability to stand on their own, those situations are situations where the woman got pregnant, they're not married to their boyfriend, they're not married to the father, they are going to deal with a lot of social stigma, shame, the whole nine yards. They want to avoid that, and they see abortion as a easy out being offered. More often than not, when a woman takes an abortion, they take it because they feel that they have no other choice. And it is that despair that the devil will profit off. He will do things to profit off of the despair of others and the franticness of our emotional imbalance. That's a different topic for another day, but remember that he will use our emotional imbalance against us. That is why God speaks of keeping a calm mind, of self-control being one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, going back to how the lie is there is no impact on the woman who suffers an abortion, that lie is easily maintained through abortion advocates saying whenever a pro-life group puts forth a specific study about the impacts abortion has, but when the study is on the psychology and the impact it has on the woman, the abortion industry will immediately say they're just pushing an agenda and pushing misinformation to shut us down. I will say that is a good defense, but here's where I'm coming at you with. I'm going to be talking about miscarriages, because if you look at it from a biological perspective, an abortion is an induced miscarriage which happens at any stage of the pregnancy. While it is rare for a miscarriage to happen at early stages of a pregnancy, we actually just rename them. We call them preemies or prematures, but it's very similar in how the body was unable to keep the child in the womb for the full time of development that we see normally, which is roughly 9 months or 38 weeks, depending on how you count. But anyways, based on those information of how the body reacts and how it is very similar to something that exists, we're going to be looking at that data which is unable to be claimed as agenda for or against a specific point. Rather, the agenda of a study on a miscarriage is to see how something like that impacts a woman's body, and everyone acknowledges that these guys had no bias except how to help a woman recover from these things. So let's start off with some statistics. First is that 1 in 9 women have suffered a miscarriage or will suffer a miscarriage in the United States. I do not know if that will be reflected worldwide. If that is the case, that is still a sad thing. That is a little more than 10%. The study I was reading said it was 12 to 15% that exists of the pregnancies are recorded, which means it's very possible for there to be higher numbers of miscarriages. However, days are never recorded because it doesn't go all the way through the early stages of pregnancy, which makes a woman recognized as the pregnant. Now, of these women who've suffered miscarriages, within 15 to 30% of them will have depressive developments within the next few months. There's also an increase in anxiety among future pregnancies, but whether or not it will suffer another miscarriage. That is another thing that is interesting to exist. From another study, 25% of women who had miscarried showed depressive symptoms after 1 year of miscarriage. They also feel a form of guilt where if I had done this or that, it would have survived. If I hadn't gone to this place, I would not have lost my child. This is what Martha Diamond, PhD, who was part of a study done by Rochester, the University of Rochester, she calls this action retroactive bargaining. That is interesting because it's one of the stages of grief. In high school, they talked about stages of grief, and one of them is bargaining, making some form of try to change it. That is a clear sign that miscarriage causes a negative impact on a woman. Now, you may think that miscarriage and abortion is different because the woman knows exactly why they chose, they know exactly why the child is not in their body. I'm going to say, while you are right in that regard, there is another component, and that is the biological component of the body. The body knows that something was going on, but that didn't follow along the regular path. The body, because we call it the biological clock, that's something different, but we say that your body knows what it's doing. It's seen in just how you heal yourself from getting a cut in your hand, you slip and fall, or you get a cold. Your body knows how to take care of itself. In just the same way, the woman's body knows how to take care of a pregnancy. It goes through the whole process, conception, implantation, protection, umbilical cord, nutrients, proper hormone balance, all those neat things that will be complicatedly explained in a biochemistry, and we still don't understand all this stuff, despite all the thousands of years of research, though you could argue it's only within the recent 150 years of focused development and scientific research. However, I will say that there is another element to this, and that is guilt. With abortion, in addition to the fact that your body has been messed up by a pregnancy being ended prematurely, you also have the guilt that comes from the spiritual part of humanity, which is a connection to what we had before we fell in Eden. In Eden, we were perfect. We had a proper connection to God. We were not sinned. We were not corrupted. But when that happened, we fell away from truth. We fell away from God. We became sinful. It is recorded in Romans that men and women have a law written on their heart. It is what we call conscience. The conscience is a remnant of that connection we had with God in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. We had a connection with God, which is what God will restore in this new heaven and earth, which is recorded to come in the book of Revelations. Now, let's not go down that rabbit trail. Focus on the here and now of conscience that exists within the person. That conscience has a record of what is right and wrong according to God. That is why we say this person is a good person, even though they're not Christian, because they follow the conscience that exists in them, that exists in every person. Now, there is more to this. When a person violates that conscience, they feel guilt. Guilt comes from the conviction. That conviction is done in the spirit with one purpose and one purpose only. And that is the repentance. That is confessing our sins to God to turn back to Him. When we confess, we do not try and excuse our actions, but we just admit to them. That confession allows for forgiveness to take place, which then allows for us to be healed through the process that exists. Each one of us will go through a different process of healing, but it starts with confession and coming to God openly about what you've done, different people suffer with different things for different amounts of time. I'm not able to give any sharp numbers on that just because I know there's uniqueness to each person and situation. But the Bible is clear that conviction is meant to bring us to repentance. As we continue this factor, guilt comes from when you don't confess, when you don't repent, and that guilt will continue to exist and eat at you. So your human being, that flesh, that sinful nature, will excuse itself, saying, "This and this is not that bad because of these situations." We'll say things like, "Everyone else is doing it. I'm doing something that's not too bad," or "I'm doing something that's not as bad as this." And that will regard a lot of anger to those who remind us of the righteousness, who remind us of right and wrong, because we don't want to obey God. The sinful person does not want to live according to God's life. They want to live life however they want. And that is the root of sin. To live life according to one's own desires and apart from God. Sin is when one says, "I am able to decide for myself right and wrong." That is what was done in the garden. The tree was not so much a fruit tree, but more so a representation of a decision of whether or not you are going to let God tell you what right and wrong is, or are you going to decide for yourself right and wrong? So for all we know, it could have been something that's not an apple tree. The only reason why it's become an apple tree is because of paintings, and it's a common fruit to exist in our area. For all we know, it could have been a date palm, or it could have been a fig tree. You know what I mean. The fact is not so much the item of the tree, but more so the action and what it represented. It represented deciding for yourself what is right and wrong. Part of that deciding for right and wrong is deciding who lives or dies, is deciding who has the rights and who does not. It is, again, replacing God for yourself and your own life. So what are we to do now that we understand the battle at hand? Well, that answer comes down to first recognizing the spiritual influence and taking the battle to the Spirit. You want to pray for a couple of things. First, and that's that truth will make it to the forefront. We want truth to be made so that people can have their hearts changed. It's very easy to get ourselves focused on the humans involved who do not know they are being influenced by demonic forces. And yes, I do believe that demonic it's not so much that I believe, but I know and am convicted in my spirit that demonic influences exist and are forcing abortion to remain legal in this nation. And everyone who does not know or recognize this is either ignorant, naive, or outright denial. There is a spiritual aspect to this battle, to abortion. And to ignore it and to declare that it doesn't exist is outright foolishness. So we need to admit that it exists and confront it directly. We need to pray according to specific prayers. First is for truth to be brought forth and for this to be recognized by people. Specifically, our leaders and influencers to shout through the noise and the lies with truth. The truth will always get through lies if you allow it to exist. And the thing is, the enemy, namely Satan, has control over influencers, social media, and other forms of information spreading. Because of this, we need to pray that people in control of these medias will have their hearts changed and become influenced by God's Spirit on them. This will take continual prayer. The acronym you must remember is PUSH. Pray until something happens. You must continue to pray for this specific thing to happen. Because when you pray for a specific thing, you know what you can look for. You're able to see that thing be fulfilled. The second thing is you must be involved in the political process. Because that's where laws are made, and that's where we are going to kill abortion. And by that, I mean that is where we'll be able to stop it from being legal. Recently, there was a vote, 48-46, to stop abortion from continuing legal in the United States. And what I mean is the Democrats recently tried pushing through a bill before the midterms to make a law that would make abortion legal in the event that Roe v. Wade was overturned. They were going to make it federal law for abortion to remain legal. Roe v. Wade mainly made it so that the laws were made by the federal and not the states. Roe v. Wade is overturned, it will make it so that the laws are decided by the states of whether or not abortion will be legal or not. And I'm very willing to say that I'm willing to bet half the states will make abortion illegal instantly, without exception. Some of them will be exception-based, where there's only certain scenarios where they allow it, and a few states only where it will be all limits and all times without limits. Now, in current times, in July, early summer, and maybe July or June, but there's a couple of lawsuits pending that may very well do a few things. First, overturn Roe v. Wade and create a new precedent formally recognizing the human lives in the womb and thus granting them protections under the Constitution of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. What we need to do is we need to continue influencing people and making sure that they know the truth that a child in the womb is always a human being deserving of those rights. The third thing we need to do is, until that happens, support your local pregnancy centers. There are large groups that do work on a nationwide scale, which are local places where I swear you'll have the most influence. It will be easy to do so. Sometimes you can only give $5 a month, or if you don't have money, you can give in time, which is something that they're very useful of. You can help them through volunteering your time, your energy, you can give them gifts of baby supplies. And these are the three things that you can focus on. One, pray for the truth to be revealed for people to have their hearts changed. Remember to be specific in the prayers so that people see what's going on. Two, be politically active and ensure that people know what's going on. Identify everyone who is pro-life, continue to pray for them to have strength, and for everyone who is pro-abortion, who is in any way supportive of abortion, elect them out of office, replace them with pro-life supporters. I do not care if the person you are voting for doesn't agree with everything you want on other matters, but if you want to get rid of abortion, you have to elect people who are pro-life without exception, who are uncompromising, who are evangelically essentially pro-life, who are not going to compromise. And third, support your local pregnancy center and other forms of crisis helplines for pregnant mothers. Those things are important. Focus on your local helping. If you have a church, ask them if they know of centers that exist in your area. If there are none, ask them if they'd be willing to start a ministry. In fact, volunteer to be the main lead for the ministry, because churches, from what I've understood and from my experiences, are willing to help and start new ministries if there's someone willing to lead it. If you say, hey, you should all do this, they say, great, do you want to lead it? And you say, no, but it's something I'd do. They're saying, well, how dedicated are you to this? When you're going through this whole process, continue to keep in prayer, knowing God will trust you. Let me rephrase that. Keep in prayer, knowing you can trust God to guide you through life's process. If you're put in the position to help work as a ministry lead for dealing with single mothers, dealing with those who are facing crisis pregnancies, and even with your friends, when you find out that your friend is pregnant, tell them that you're going to be with them and help them through to parent the child, and tell them that you're going to be with them all the steps of the way. For those of you who may hear this who are yourselves teenagers and have been having sex and have your girlfriend pregnant, I'll tell you that it's best to care for the child. If your boyfriend decides to leave you, if the father of your child decides to leave you because you decide to carry the child, you are doing what is right in the eyes of God, and He will bless you. It will be hard to go through this right, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. There's so many famous celebrities. Justin Bieber recently had a birthday, and he was a child of a mother pressured to abort, but his mother chose life. And for those of you who like his music, you all get to hear his music. I'm not one who's a big thing about his music. It was never a big deal for me. But he's just someone famous that I was able to read about just the other day, so it's on my mind. And there's a bunch of other people. If you just Google famous people whose mothers were pressured to abort but chose life, you'll find a whole list of a bunch of people you probably never even realized. And here's the deal. You have no idea if the child you're choosing to take care of may very well become someone big. And that's something you need to understand. God will take those who are obeyed his words, those who listen to his standards, and bless them. And this is not so much meant to be a feel-good message. This is meant to be encouragement. This is meant to serve a war briefing saying, all right, here's what's going on. Here's what you're up against. Here's what we've got on our side. That's the whole point of this podcast when talking about abortion. Let you know that there is more to it than you think, but focusing on how we can change this. I want you to use the resource pregnancydecisionline.org. I will have it in the show notes, and you will use it to find your local pregnancy center. That is the place where you can have the most impact in the physical material world. But going there and finding out what they need, saying, hey, I want to help you guys. I really care about this. Are you needing any supplies? Do you need cash? How much a week am I able to support you with? And all those types of questions. And don't let me, my little quick list, limit you. But really get involved and ask them what type of troubles are they facing and dealing with. And those things will do much more than you could ever expect. If you want to support a larger group, I'm glad you have the heart. We really encourage you to support your local group, because they really need your support. They are depending on $5 a month, $1 a month donors to keep the lights on. They are dealing with a lot of other things which I have no idea of, but I do know that it is important to support your local centers. I will again have the link to pregnancydecisionline.org in the show notes, which you'll be able to use, plug in your zip code, or plug in some other address. The site is very self-explanatory. From there, you'll be able to find your local center. I want to finish this off by saying, keep in prayer that God will open the eyes of our politicians, of our people on social media, and those who have influence in this world to realize what's going on and to see the truth of a human being in the womb is a human being deserving of the same rights and protection. I do want to talk about that. I want to quickly say that there is also a matter of a country legalizing abortion and child sacrifice, causing the wrath of God to be stirred up. It is what caused the foreign nations around Israel to be destroyed when Israel came in, and has let Israel to itself be destroyed because it had violated God's laws on this aspect. This is not the time nor place to go into much detail, and I've already finished out the podcast, but I want you to know that it carries with it a curse on nations when God's anger against someone has been bubbled up enough against the nation, especially when it's been founded on his principles and now has rejected him. We have time of repentance. For all we know, it may be enough to stop it, or it may not be enough. But what we do know is he will forgive those who repent. He is honest to those. Let me rephrase that. He will forgive those who repent, and he will remember those who are asking for forgiveness. Those who are of contrite heart, he will forgive. And if we make the decisions to make abortion illegal, to universally recognize the rights of human beings inside the womb, we're going to be able to restore that blessing God had on the United States for a long time. And that is what I want to see happen to this nation. I want to see us Christians rise up again, armed with the truth of what's going on in this world, and able to see the connection between the spiritual and the material, and to combine them and say, okay, here is our target. This is where we're going. Let's move. And that is what I see going on in this world. I'm seeing more and more influencers become awakened to the spiritual world. I'm seeing it happening. And here's the deal. We Christians have to lead that charge. We have to say, this is what's going on, and here's what we need to do. We can't wait for people with the big influence to reach others. We have to start where we are, one-on-one, with the people around us, to continue working through this. That's how the disciples did it, one-on-one fellowship. That's how Christ did it, one-on-one fellowship. That's how we need to do it, one-on-one fellowship with others talking about these subjects. That's what I'm going to do on this podcast. I'm speaking as though I'm speaking only to my friend, because those who hear this will grow and they'll learn to understand. But those who aren't my friends, who hate what I write and who hate what I say, I just say, may God open your hearts so you no longer are hardened.